All right. Good evening. I will call to order this Drainage District Trustees meeting. So it's the Board of Supervisors serving in our capacity as Drainage District Trustees for Richland 20, and we'll get right into it. So the first item is present the Commissioner's Report right away for Drainage District Richland 20 to the landowners. Ken Rohde, I'll ask you to present.
Hi, all. My name's Kent Rohde, the drainage engineer working on for Drainage District number 20, Richland. Open ditch improvements. Tyler, there you are. This is Tyler Conley. He's also with our office at ISD. Here today to present the right-of-way. Well, first, a little past history. The project generally started back in June. We filed a report on Drainage District 20 having some issues with the main tile that crosses, not the main tile, but the west main tile that crosses underneath the Union Pacific Railroad. It had collapsed, ultimately been filled in with the ballast and the obvious problems that resulted from that. We prepared a report that had two options. The one that was chosen by the board at the hearing on August 19th of 2015 was option two, which included an improvement to the open ditch, which essentially was a repair of the lower portion of the ditch up to where the east branch is out. There's an existing ditch there now that needs to be straightened and cleaned. That existing ditch continues to the north and ended originally about at this location. There's erosion from water, surface flows, and from the tile itself that caused issues with eroding out that existing tile, being removed and falling into a ditch that was progressing back naturally, and also getting into the banks of the Union Pacific and causing issues there. Up here was where the tile had originally crossed and was collapsed as well. Our proposal in option two was to repair this existing ditch, bring back to its original design and capacity, but also not only that, but it made sense to extend that open ditch up along the railroad right-of-way, replacing that existing tile with the open ditch and abandoning that existing tile and continuing the open ditch across the railroad to a point where this west main tile could then be connected into a drop structure that would lead to a culvert underneath the railroad. So that is our current plans, and I will later present those plans to the board and file those with the board. But our plan, again, this portion of the ditch up to the railroad right-of-way is paid by the landowner. Dirt's relatively cheap in comparison to tile, and that makes that project cheaper than a proposed tile, and it especially makes it cheaper when you consider that the cost of that culvert as well as the drop structure is paid for by the Union Pacific Railroad, because by code of Iowa, the railroads are responsible for culverts beneath their property.
Not responsible for tiles under their property.
That is correct. There has been lawsuits and courts ruling that clarifying the code in regards to tile versus culverts. Tiles are not responsible for the culverts. So that's a significant savings to the district. We also provided some savings to the districts in that that drop structure is actually part of that culvert, because it allows the surface waters to flow into that culvert and it's also placed within their right-of-way, so that is going to be their cost, too. So that's a significant savings to the district, and also lowers the cost, our original estimated cost by close to $100,000. So I feel good about where we've come with this project. One, I feel bad about that it's taken this long. That's the downside. But I feel good that we've accomplished the Union Pacific to recognize that that is their responsibility, and they've agreed to pay for those costs.
And we couldn't even get them to respond at first. I mean, it took months and months and months just to get a response out of them.
And finally, we got a dialogue going, and it was a good dialogue. And I tried to keep Scott as informed as and Darren as informed as we could, but there were some a lot of things happening, and I felt it was best at that time to keep attorneys out of it as much as we could. I think things progressed well without involving attorneys, and I think even though the Union Pacific has a battery of attorneys in Omaha that I think are a whole floor looking for things to do, this seems to go well as it should, because it's clearly their responsibility. Again, the original cost of option two is about $492,000 for total project cost. I believe that total project cost would now be in the neighborhood of around $400,000. So that's a significant reduction. Also, at that hearing on August 19th, the board obviously with the new extended open ditch right away is required. And also, with the existing ditch, there was an existing right-of-way there. It was not defined width-wise, but it was defined by the fact that there is an open ditch there, and that they would have needed a certain amount of space to construct that. So you assume 20 feet on each side. So in that original hearing, we established that existing right-of-way as 80 feet wide, and that is defined by this purple line. It terminates at the end of the existing right-of-way. However, part of this project and future maintenance and repair needs, 100 feet is a typical right-of-way width that's usually considered adequate and uniform throughout. So with this right-of-way report, we're acquiring not only the new right-of-way for the new open ditch, but also the right-of-way that extends that existing right-of-way out to the 100-foot portion for the main open ditch, for the west main, and the east main as well. And in the report, we separate those areas up between the area that is within the top of banks and the area that's outside the top of banks. Certainly that area within the top of banks can't be used for anything. It's land taken that is strictly for the flow of stormwater. The area outside the top of banks is area that can continue to be cropped or used in whatever manner is currently used. However, you can't construct buildings or those type of facilities in there. It can't be used typically for growth crops. It is, however, taken off of your tax rolls. You do not pay taxes on open ditch right-of-ways. So therefore, we separated that out to give a different value. The area within the top of banks should be given, we felt, as commissioners, full value. And I failed to introduce Dave Anderson here, who was a commissioner for the report, as well as Brad Brooks, who couldn't be here tonight. He had other commitments. So us three as commissioners put together this report and the values that you've seen. The two values we came up with a value for within that area within the Tapa Bank of $12,000, and the area outside the Tapa Bank a reduced value of $2,000. We've looked at a number of different things. We looked at comparable sales within that area. We looked at for those parcels that had an existing CSR value, we looked at those existing CSR values, and they were in the neighborhood of around 89, between 88 and 89, as I remember. I think we looked at a value that we saw in a comparable last October of about $131 per CSR. Multiply that out, and that's almost $12,000, just shy of $12,000. So that's how we came up with that number. Again, for this area right away, it does not include any payment that may occur because of damages to that area outside that right away due to construction. Certainly, at a completion hearing at the end of the project, after those costs are known, we will tabulate those, send those out for review by those landowners that live along this where the work will occur, and that will be decided at another hearing for completion. Are there any questions?
Yes. There are currently 3 4-foot culverts under the railroad that take surface water. Where is the new culvert relative to them? And will the railroad block those 4-foot culverts and remove them?
I don't expect to answer your first question. They're located in between. The railroad is squeezed between two of the existing culverts, as I recall, right? And as far as I know, I mean, they can leave those in place. The railroad, they're really their culverts. We don't have a concern whether they close those or not. This pipe was designed to handle all the flows that are coming to that area without those. They
I have a line on the west side, so it would not be a major rerouting of the waterway to get to the new culvert.
No. There should not be significant rerouting. There might be some shaping that needs to occur there, but it should not be significant.
What about if those culverts do water does come across Steve Henry on the landowners? So if water should come across that, is this project got so the water will be directed into this open ditch?
The water that's coming from the east here?
No, from the west.
From the west?
If it comes through the existing culverts. The existing culverts, too.
Yes.
Because there gets to be a lot of water that comes across there.
Yeah, so my concern there would be the culvert to the north. You said you're able to put this new culvert between two of the existing culverts, right? So the one to the south is going to naturally feed into the new open ditch that we're talking about putting in. It's going to flow to the south. I would be concerned about the 4-foot culvert that's just to the north of where we're talking about this new culvert. Where is that water going to go?
That's going to go into the open ditch, too. It'll be shaped with riprap. That whole turn, this whole turn there, you guys can't see this, but this whole turn where the comes out of the culverts and then turns and goes into the ditch, open riprap, protect the slopes. Well, that water coming over those higher culverts will be directed into that ditch.
Right, but right now the water is backing up on Dr. Hewen's land and then flowing through the 4-foot culverts. And then where is the water that's coming through that north 4-foot culvert going right now?
Because I remember
you have that waterway that used to be kind of flowing out.
Okay.
It's kind of a washout. It's kind of a slow washout that goes for until they join, as I remember, right?
And then it hits that waterway.
Then it hits this waterway and comes out around.
And so it just seems to me that we better account for that northernmost culvert
anytime water would come through that, where is it going?
And we have.
Okay.
And it would be very rare.
Sure.
If it occurs at all.
So well, you're talking about a 108-inch culvert that we're going to put in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. With a, what size is that drop structure?
It is an 11 by 8 foot.
11 by 8 foot box in front of that. The surface water would flow into that box, open box with an open top, and we've got a grate on top of that to keep people and whatever out. But then the tile comes into that box below that.
So does it actually kind of do a 90-degree turn? Is it actually east and west?
On the east side, yes. On this part right here is where it does this 90-degree turn. But this is
heavy. So it's straight east and west under...
The culvert is straight.
Wouldn't it be better to kind of line the two up or not?
Well, it'd be a lot more... I don't know that the railroad would have liked that as much because it would have been a lot more length of pipe needed. Because of that diagonal length. And I think we accomplished the same thing here, that this area is heavily riprap and that water should make it.
So the bottom of this new culvert is going to be below the existing tile?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have
plans to show all that. It's about 3 foot. And the county tile will be barricaded from animals, you know, so where it opens up.
I guess we have to put a
skunk record.
Pipe that we're having, and typically on those larger mains, I don't see that as an issue. We haven't seen that as an issue because we're a 2-inch pipe, so they're going to flush. The reason we're putting in a bigger pipe, we're putting it inside for any future improvements to that tile, so you wouldn't have to come into that box again in the future and upsize that and drill into that.
So a side question, there's a big fiber optic cable that goes up the west side of the river. Is that going to be an open air as opposed to all these structures?
Is that going to be a what?
An open air. I mean, it's buried now.
Oh, but I didn't know. Well, and yeah, that needs to be located, and we have provisions that they need to call or fiber optic, because that's common, that there's fiber optic along these railroad lines, and that's a requirement of the railroad. We expect that we will likely bore underneath that. Of course, we don't know exactly where that fiber is until we do the...
Buying $600,000 a minute.
Yeah. And that's why the contractor has that insurance.
One of the things, though, we don't want to discount in that is if you're going that deep, so where will the culvert actually extend from relative to the right of way? Because they broke a bunch of tile on my farm north of there, and it was basically right at the fence line, if I'm remembering it correctly. And so, in order for them to have grade, they may be low. This tile may be deep. The bottom of the tile will need to be below where that fiber optic is.
Well, it had to be originally, so I don't sure.
Okay, so I'm saying that, okay, the culvert's going to come down and it's going to sit, let's say this will be the bottom of the culvert,
okay?
The fiber optic line is going to be about here.
Potentially, but it would be either above or below where the existing tile is.
It's going to be above the existing tile.
Okay. but depending on where it is at in their right of way, I would expect our jack and bore to be underneath.
But the concern, well, aren't we going to have an open ditch going into that drop structure for a while? Is that drop structure going to be on the railroad, or is it going to be on the dock units?
The drop structure is located in the railroad.
Is anybody is everyone following what he's referring to there about the drop structure and the other thing there? I think it's a good question that, and I think it's important that everybody kind of.
I just wonder if it's more expensive,
this whole thing. If it's in the railroad right away, though, it's the railroad's responsibility.
Yes.
Is that right or not? What about the fiber optic dealing with that?
I would think whoever's fiber optic that is, that would be their responsibility. So any costs that occur within that railroad right of way is the railroad. Separate division.
There's two things there. Okay, the elevation of that fiber optic. Who they're going to put their finger at to raise the floor or whatever. And then the other thing is dealing with the water where you're dealing.
And those situations are being handled by the contractor as part of his responsibility. Typically that would be by pumping, I would expect. And he's going to have to pump. There is a culvert downstream there that they could pump to. I don't know how often are trains across. I don't think you can put a pipe or anything across the tracks.
Well, is anything going through the tile that exists now, the tile that has collapsed and been filled in, is anything going through that right now?
Probably not a lot. I mean, I guess they could run a pipe through one of those existing culverts.
I believe on the east side, I think that tile is working.
Okay.
I think Ralph and Hugh exposed that as
just whatever water can come through that pass.
But where it hits the west side, it's really not moving much through that time.
Yeah. I guess then my question is more for information than anything. But when you're going to have a bid, the contract is going to be laid out, are there certain kinds of concerns that they're bringing to our attention now that's going to be specified so the contractor is aware of some of these things, or are they just have a standard way of going in and boring and putting the culverts in, etc.?
A lot of these questions will be asked and answered again at a pre-construction meeting.
Okay.
Or these specific issues that that may come up, questions that the contractor has, or questions that your landowners are welcome to come to the pre-construction.
Okay. Meeting. That's what I was asking about. Yeah.
And address those at that time.
Does the railroad come to those meetings?
Probably not.
A lot of times hard to get any utility from those meetings.
So the digging of the open ditch, as they look at that map, that dirt will obviously be feathered off to the east. Will that waterway, is the intent to eliminate that waterway then that's currently there?
Yes. Well, I mean, it'll still. I don't know if we've got provisions to fill that in, though, in relation to our ditch. But that water, we do have surface. And when you have soil, when you dig an open ditch, you have soil, and it's placed typically on two sides. This soil would be placed on one side, and it has a flat 12 to 14 foot area that's relatively flat, sloping about 2%, and that feathers off about 10 to 1, flatter into the existing ground. Okay, there, that of course restricts water from flowing over the top of the banks. You don't want water going over the tops of banks of the open ditch because that would erode it. So we direct that surface water to what we call surface drain pipes or culverts that go through that spoil bank and then extends out into the ditch at a point where it won't cause erosion. So we've got surface drain pipes generally located in that area to bring in that surface water wherever else it was needed.
But Ken, I thought one of our expectations would be that by putting in this new open ditch, that existing waterway would be able to roll back into agriculture, right? Where you haven't been able to farm up till now.
We're talking about the north.
Up in here.
Yeah.
Certainly we'll have plenty of dirt and we can shape generally however you want.
Yeah.
This was a heavily eroded area past. A lot of that will be taken up with the city, and there's areas outside of that that can be shaped as we can't, I don't know how much, you got water coming here to an outlet
right in there, most of this comes from the north,
from up here. Yeah, those are things that can be shaped.
How did they locate the tile that they're going into the existing county that was actually breaking and that point and then the two areas?
Yeah, when they crush, we're going to, the existing tile as it's crushed, certainly part of it will be removed with the ditch excavation. In those areas that it's not, it will be crushed in place. They dig down to it and are able to see. Without digging the tile out, I don't want them to dig that out and then you have all those pieces typically on top of the ground. So you dig down to it where you can see if there's any incoming tiles and bring those in. Even if they miss some, they show up very quickly. The contractor will come back and bring it into the building.
Anything else? Just part of this data that I'm going to construct through the winter, the ground is going to freeze, but that ground for hundreds of acres north of the tracks is saturated, right? And a lot of it's also padded tile. You could start pumping out of the county tile on the west side of the track in one of those existing culverts today, and maybe by November,
drive
down enough to construct. Otherwise, you're
going to
be in the
bucket. So, yeah, and so they're going to want to, as long as they're constructing, they're going to want to be pumping. And they're not going to be willing to be messing around.
Because
some grounds
could tell you how many millions of gallons of water is stuck in soil there.
Yeah.
Right. That's why we're. No, you guys are anxious for this to be done.
Some of them are anxious to get this going.
I don't know if there's no other questions.
Okay, so that is, you have now presented the right-of-way report, right?
Yes.
Now we need to consider approval of the purchase of additional right-of-way recommended by the commissioner's report. And so that is the full 100 feet for everything that is new open ditch. And it's an additional 20 feet for what is existing open ditch.
Correct?
Correct. Any comments from landowners before the trustees consider approval of purchasing additional right-of-way?
For the west for the main open ditch,
right,
the west open ditch, as well as the east.
Right. Any comments from you guys? Comments, Marty or Wayne?
We're going to have to pay for the project. We pay ourselves. We should probably sell it cheap.
Unfortunately, that's not the way this whole thing is set up. Any questions, Wayne? Comments? Okay, so I need a motion to approve purchase of additional right-of-way as recommended in the commissioner's report.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Cheney?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. We approve the purchase of additional right-of-way as presented in the commissioner's report. Final plans and specifications. Kent?
Now, in front of you, if you want copies of the full plans and specs, we can give you those.
Right.
We have file copies for Scott and for the auditor that go into the records.
And the most important to me that we get it into the records so that everybody can view it.
Yeah. If you guys want to take hard copy yourselves, you're welcome to one. We have brought some. You want it?
No.
Yeah, I want one.
As long as we've got one.
Otherwise, I have prepared a summary here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take us through the summary, Kent.
Just go through the specification summary for bidding information. The bid security of the certificate must be 5% of the bid, and maybe either a bid bond, a certified or cashier's check drawn on Iowa Bank, or a share draft from a credit union in Iowa, or cash. Recommended that bank checks and money orders also be accepted. We have in the specifications the contractor is 15 days to enter into the contract after a notice of award, but this may be deferred for various reasons up to 35 days after the bid letting. Performance and payments bonds are for 100% of the contract as required, and they actually remain in effect for 1 year afterwards to take care of any maintenance or any unforeseen items that the contractor may have missed or needed to maintain. Liquidated damages are $250 for calendar days. If work is completed, we have a completion date of July 1st of 2017. I've extended that. I know you like this work being done. I think the time period now is becoming short. After December 1st, work becomes pretty iffy. Contractors are somewhat sensitive to that, and I think they are by now filled up. We've been bidding a few projects, and I think the number of bidders has been dwindling down. So I extended that, and I actually extended another project of mine too as an addendum to July 1st to encourage more contractors to bid. So I think by extending that date to July 1st of 2017, we will encourage the number of contractors and we'll receive better bids over time. Payments, progress payments throughout the project are typically paid monthly, and they are for 90% of the work, meaning 10% retainage. Bid forms are sometimes errors on the bid forms and calculations, but the unit prices rule. We have tentatively set, and that needs to be approved by the board today, a bid opening where the bids are just opened and no actions are taken as on October 18th. After that, we take the bids home, we tabulate those and prepare a tabulation for the board to consider at another meeting and hearing on the plan of specs. And we tentatively set that at 6:30 for October 26th. There will also, at that hearing, we will present a preliminary reclassification. We plan to also mail that copies of that out, paper copies, to the landowners. or how have we done that?
We've done paper, we...
We have asked you to be available on our website.
There you go.
There's a copy in the final rules. We not have access to that. They're welcome to come in and get a copy.
Okay.
You guys are in for a treat. That's a fascinating process.
And
before we throw a substantial
number
of pages,
we'll go over that at that hearing, the whole process of how we went through that. There's five main factors, acres, wetness,
proximity,
runoff. Briefly gone over that, I think, previously at the hearing, original hearing, but we'll go over that in much better depth. We'll have color-coded maps and overheads to explain that better. Moving on to this, some preliminary act indications to aid the contractor in making bids. The board used warrants in this district. Anticipated number of installment payments. Allow for you as landowners to make payments over a minimum. It can be no less than 10 years and no more than 20.
And we've been setting 10 is where we've been coming down on other projects.
And I would agree that would be was my suggestion. Interest rate, I believe, stories at 6%.
Right. That's what we have been.
Also included in the contract documents are insurance requirements. We have specified some insurance. I won't go into those in detail. The board has the opportunity to increase those if they feel that's necessary. This is what we've normally used and it hasn't been a problem in the past. A lot of contractors have even more than that. Miscellaneous items, again, I touched on this earlier, crop damages are estimated and determined at the completion hearing. You will be notified landowners. Only those landowners will be a public notification, but only those landowners on where the work has occurred will be given a written notice. And with that written notice will include an estimate of what your damages may be. Because we measure the area that was damaged and we'll try and count. And you're right that you're open to object to that and have reasons or show cause for increased or decreased damage payments. We're going to bid this project. There's three divisions that are working on private lands. One is for... We split it into three because there's generally going to be three schedules. Because everybody uses the main open ditch. So everybody in the district, we have one schedule for that. We're going to have a separate schedule for the west main and one for the east main. So there's three main schedules of how this project is going to be paid. Therefore, we're in the bidding for separating those three items of work into three divisions, and that's all called work on private lands. And division four is the work in the Union Pacific right away. And that gets paid for by Union Pacific. So they can bid on, they have to bid on all divisions. The board can select the work on private land or the work on the Union Pacific Railroad or both. They have that opportunity. Whatever's in the best interest of the district. Again, the preliminary classifications that we talked about will be available. We hope to have those available next week. Sometime next week, and get those people at that time. So, we'll talk about that. given the engineer's opinion of probable assessable construction costs. So for Division 1, we've estimated about $5,600 for the main open ditch. We've estimated about $12,400 for the east main and $184,000 for the west. Total about $202,000. So, as I mentioned, that's about $100,000 less than the estimated. But mainly because of that, it's got structure problems. So, and the work that we've estimated that will occur on the Union Pacific Railroad right away that they're paying for is about
$42,000. You're acting on their behalf.
We agreed to design that culvert and bid the work on their behalf. Mm-hmm. So they're
Well, they will. You guys need to appreciate the work that he's done to get that. I mean, that doesn't happen.
Keep in mind that they not only pay for this cost of this crossing, they also pay for the whole project cost as well because they are landowners. Mm-hmm. They are included on the assessment schedule. So even the work on the private lands, they will pay a portion of it as well.
They won't pay Division 2 costs. I was just clarifying as we break this thing out the way I read it, they won't pay on the east open ditch.
Oh,
right? They'll pay on the main ditch and they'll pay on the main west ditch as a property owner. They won't pay on that east ditch.
That's correct. Thank you.
Yep.
Because whatever land they have in that watershed is based on the watershed that drains to those facilities. Right. Main and the west.
Right. Ken, clarify for me. I thought you said you thought it was going to be about a $400,000 project all in. So are we missing engineering costs? What are we missing out of here?
There's a number of other costs that are related to the project. One is crop damages. The cost of right-of-way is another one. Just the 6% of cost of financing. In the meantime, before the board levies the project, there's interest on warrants. The contractor, the engineer, even you landowners that have right-of-way maybe get paid in a warrant. And when the board levies and money is brought into that district pot, until that time when they have money in the pot, then they'll ask for those warrants back. But in the meantime, they're earning 6% simply. So those are finance costs. Now there's cost of publication. Those can be significant, the reclassification, with all the hearings that are needed throughout the drainage process, as well as the engineering and reclassification for the forest for the construction stage and construction administration.
And all of those charges that you're talking about right now are incurred at the very bottom of the drainage district. So they are shared all the way up the drainage district on both sides.
Yes. But proportionally shared
right.
by each west main and the east main as well.
Right.
He's hesitant to ask, but I'm still waiting on wetlands determinations, and I got all of them but a couple, so I have a feeling they're trying to figure out if they're going to say that I'm going to be out of compliance.
First, they have to show that you are in, that this project proves drainage tools. What was originally designed. And my thought is that, again, I think I gave you some of the
back in the half bridge, and you know, it's just, I'm still trying. I got all of them to back, and I know why they're hesitating.
And if that comes back adversely, do not ignore it. Act on that with the advice of that attorney specializing in that.
So how much is this going to improve the drainage?
In response to you and your issue, it will not impact
original specifications.
It will not impact those wetlands. It will improve your drainage from what it is not, from what it was originally.
Right.
Without it being damaged, it will not improve it.
Because I don't think it's
going to
be a big deal.
I don't think it's actually just. I know there was joint DD 1, and there were wetlands in that district as well that I believe they recognized were not impacted by that.
My problem, my concern is it's not a real wetland, it's a farm wetland. So that means
who's determining that for you?
We're waiting to hear yet. I haven't heard, but the NRCS.
Okay.
That's just wondering.
Okay.
So you're not increasing the size here, you're not.
We're improving, certainly we're much larger in this area than what the original tile was. We're improving it from here to here. Beyond that, this existing 22 inch is still a 22 inch.
Right.
Other than where we're making connection into that culvert, that short stretch, that will be improved. But beyond that, it's still a 22 inch.
But when we relieve the pressure on it, a quarter of a mile,
it'll go back to its original.
Okay, how long has that ground been saturated? How many years?
Third year.
Okay. Ken, anything else that we need to know as part of the final plans and specifications?
Not really to approve those. I did give everybody a tentative proposed project schedule to give them an idea of the process that will continue after here today. Again, this is tentative, things change. This is what we're shooting for today.
So do we need a motion acknowledging receipt of these plans?
Yes.
Either of you guys want to make that motion?
I would move to recommend that we acknowledge and receive the plans as proposed in the project schedule before us.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any questions or discussion? Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. All right, so we've received those. Now we're going to set dates. Right? You've already talked about what we have tentatively set. Now we need to formally get those set. Take us through those again, Kent.
Then the date for the bid opening is set, and time and location is 10 a.m. October 18th at the Storey County Boardroom at the administrative building in Nevada.
All right, so the next thing that everybody needs to worry about is October 18th, 10 a.m. That would be bid open. We don't have to do anything formal in order to get the bids.
Anybody's welcome to come to that. You're welcome to come, but it's pretty non-eventful. We just open the bids, we'll read them, and you ended up writing down whatever the bids are. If you wait until the hearing, we'll have them all tabulated, have all the individual tabulations, along with the engineer's estimate where they all fell in at.
They'll all get to see every bid at that meeting.
Yeah.
We don't just have the cheapest one.
Right. It's a tabulation of all bids that were received.
All right, so, Board, I need a motion to set the public bid letting and opening for October 18th at 10 a.m.
So moved. Second. For October 18th for the public bid letting and opening.
10 a.m. Move in a second. Clinton?
Aye.
Cheney?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. October 18th, 10 a.m. bid letting. Next.
Next, the time for the public hearing on the plans and specifications, form of contract, and estimate of cost is set at 6:30 p.m. October 26th at the Story County Boardroom in the Appraisal Building in Leeds, Iowa.
Right here, October 26th, 6:30 p.m. Do I have a motion?
Motion to hold our public hearing on the 26th of October at 6:30 for awarding the contract of preliminary reclassification of their schedules as they will be presented to us that night.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 6:30 p.m. here on the 26th. Anything else that we've got to do tonight?
Unless there's any other questions from you guys.
Landowners, questions about where we are, where we're headed.
Landowners are very interested in
this. As quick as we can, absolutely. Board, if there's anything else, I take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all.
I can't believe Laura stuck out halfway through. It was just starting to get fun.